Hi, this is Pastor Jerry from Cross Point Church. I just want you to know that I am so thrilled that you've tuned in to join us right here online. And I want you to know that we care about you, we care about your family. And if you need any information about Cross Point Church, just let us know. You can email us, you can get back to us in any way that's most convenient for you. But I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to this program. And by the way, let us know, would you, how the program is a blessing to you. Now let's go to the pulpit ministry of Cross Point Church.
Hi, welcome to Cross Point. My name is Linda, and we are so glad to have you here. In just a few minutes, our ushers will be coming to prepare to receive our offering. And if you are a guest, please don't give. Please also take a look at the Cross Point cards that we have in the back seat in front of you. Please complete that and take it to the back of the auditorium. And we would love to give you a couple of things, including a gift card to show our appreciation for your attendance. There are a lot of things happening at Cross Point Church, and here are a couple of those things that are coming up.
On Saturday, May 19th, thousands of people will walk or run for an amazing cause, bringing clean water to children and their families. You can be part of the world's largest 6K walk or run for clean water, too. Every participant provides clean water for one person. Please visit worldvision6k.org for more information and search for Bangor Christian Schools as a host site.
Cross Point Church values the importance of education. We want to congratulate all those who've graduated a course of study. On Sunday, June 3rd at our 11 o'clock service, we will honor all of our graduates with our 9th annual baccalaureate service. We encourage you to invite family and friends to attend this service as we honor those who've achieved academic milestones. If you've recently graduated or going to graduate from 8th grade, high school, trade school, or college, please contact Pastor Pencil. It's pencil@crosspointbangor.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, whether in person or online. We hope that you leave encouraged, challenged, and loved. If you have any prayer requests, please fill out the prayer card in the seat back in front of you. As always, if you want to check out the events at the church, please visit crosspointbangor.com or visit our mobile app. We hope you have a blessed week.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. My name is Rebecca Wright, and you probably don't know me because I go to the 8 o'clock service, so you wouldn't see me at this one, probably. I am a mother. I never wanted any kids. I was an only child, and it was going to be a career, and that was my route. And God, in his graciousness and good humor, gave me 4 children instead. And to make it even better, the punchline was there were twins at the end, and there are no twins in either family. So there you go. Also, I've had the pleasure of teaching for the last 32 years at Ellsworth High School, so I've mothered a lot of kids that way, too. And mothers aren't always biological. I think most of us all, at some time or another, wind up mothering. So this song is a fun tribute to all of those who have mothered out there. Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes. Hear the words I said. Get up now, gonna make your bed. Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, gonna feed the cat your breakfast. It's Priscilla's. It's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big. And please remember the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3 today. Don't forget the piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel too slowly, but hurry. The bus is here. Be careful. Come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside. Don't play rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite. Make a friend. Don't forget to share. Work it out. Would you turn? Never take a dare. Get along. Too big. Come down there. Clean your room. Fold your clothes. Put your clothes away. Make your bed. Do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Do you want some hay? Even hear a word I say. Answer. The phone doesn't sit so close. Turn it down. No texting at the table. No. Your iPods. My iPods. God if you don't listen up. Where you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Say thank you, please excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you go. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I thank you. Don't roll your eyes at me. Maybe too, some of the stuff you hate, you forked in a purple, set you straight at the food. I put up on your plate, get naked, door, get food from me. I'll count to three, get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a dose. Who cares, starting at your crown until you're 36? Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said at least 1,000 times before that. You're too old to act that way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straight. And when you want a place for everything, and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Brush your teeth, wash your face, kiss PJs on. Get a bag, get a hug, say a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because our love will never end. You don't need the reason why. Because I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm mom, the mom, 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 the mom, ta-da.
All right. There you go. Very good, Rebecca. Yeah. Yeah, that was great. She's getting better every time she does it. All right. Well, today, as we all know, is Mother's Day. Hopefully, all of you ladies, whether you're a mom or not, we want to honor all the ladies today. When you came in the auditorium, you should have received a piece of paper. So put your first and last name on the piece of paper. If you did not get a piece of paper, raise your hand. All right? We've got a lot of hands, so we've got guys with paper bunched down front as well. So fill those out as soon as you can. We want to collect all of those and collect those. We have three gifts this morning, $75 gift certificates at a local restaurant. So you'll be able to take your husband or your kids or your significant other or go by yourself two or three times, whatever it is. Or Deb's available. If you don't have anybody to go with, she'll go with
you
for sure. I'm sure you'd love to go, Deb.
I would love to go.
Yes, you would.
If it's going out to eat, I'm there.
You're in. All right. Everybody have one? Everybody have your name on it? First and last name. Try to write it where it's not hieroglyphics or anything. That would help us as we read your name. All right. Pass all of those to your left, right down the row. And we're going to have some fellas come down and get those for us. Pass them all the way this way, to your left. It'd be my right, be your left. All right? What are you looking for, the basket? No? You're looking at me kind of funny. Yeah. Oh, the basket's in the back. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, today, what we're going to do today, once we receive all of these pieces of paper after our drawing, Deb, who is the director of women, who really is our pastor to our women, and she does a great job, by the way. Yeah, give her a round of applause. Yeah. Yeah. She's the best we have right here.
That is true.
So Deb is going to share a devotional this morning for you ladies. And then I'll come back after she's finished and we'll share our message this morning. We always like to have Mother's Day to have Deb come and just share some thoughts and what God has placed on her heart for the ladies, because I think she'd do it a lot better than I would, for sure. So I appreciate Deb and all that she does. And I would just say, if you're looking for a Bible study, or you're looking to be mentored or discipled, just see Deb after the service. And by the way, I'll be back at the Connection Center after the service. So if you have a guest card or a prayer card, you can drop those off. As Linda said on the video, we have a gift for you. We would love to meet you and just answer any questions you might have about our ministry. We would love to do that. All right? So please make sure you stop by.
Okay, Kevin. All right, before we draw, have we missed anybody? Okay.
Do you still want to? Is that our lady? Did you? Oh.
If you need. If the, again, no? Okay.
Nope, I don't think we got everybody.
Let me mix these up. All right. All right, give us a little drum roll over there, Jody. All right, here we go. Woo-hoo. Our first winner.
Judy Gillis.
Judy Gillis.
Happy Mother's Day, Judy.
Come on up, Judy.
Grapes so sandwiches. Enjoy
Very
your dinner.
Very good. Very good.
And there is what her joy of the day is right there.
All right. Number two.
Patty.
Oh, Patty Soul. Patty Soul. Aha, come right ahead, Patty.
Happy Mother's Day.
Very good. All right, we mix them up again. Patty's actually visiting today. So, well, it's your first time, right? Cross Point? There you go.
Well,
how do you beat that, right?
All right? Enjoy your dinner.
She may hate the service, but she'll get love dinner. All right, here you go. All right, our final winner of the day.
I don't have my glasses on.
All right, let me see. I think it says J-O-H-N-E. Okay, Coglateri, that's the last name. Okay, who is that? Come on. There we go, there we go. All right.
Sorry, we couldn't read it.
Now remember that hieroglyphics thing I was talking to you about, okay? All right. Hey ladies, congratulations on winning. I was telling Deb, I have never won anything my entire life. I have been a perpetual loser when it comes to drawings. Never won a thing, but you guys have won. Congratulations. Mothers, have a wonderful, wonderful day today, and all of you ladies. And by the way, as you leave this morning, if you go by the cafe, if you haven't already done so, everything in the Cross Point Cafe for ladies, not men today, ladies only. Free coffee, free pastries, free donuts. So on your way out, please stop by. Jamie just gave the word that we have plenty, so we're not going to run out. So make sure you stop by on the way home and get a snack before you leave the building. Okay, sound good? All right. Hey, it's all you. It's all
Thank
about you.
Much.
All right.
Well, good morning. It's good. So good to see you. What a blessing we have to worship here at Cross Point Church, isn't it? What a great community we have. And, you know, when you stand up here for three services, Pastor does it every week, you get to see how really blessed we are as a church family. Rebecca was saying that she just goes to the 8 o'clock, and a lot of you don't even know her, and yet she is a faithful member of our church, and we're so blessed to see that in three services. So we're so glad to see you, and it's such a joy to be the pastor of women here in our church. And I'm just finishing my 7th year actually on staff. I've been part of Cross Point now for 18 years. I'm one of the long timers now, isn't I? So that's quite something. And you know, sometimes on days like this, when I think about when I came and where I was then and what God has done, can I just tell you, we serve a faithful God. And if you just give him your heart and you just dig in, God can do amazing things. You don't have to be up here to have an amazing God and have him do amazing things. I do want to just give a little encouragement and maybe a charge to us as ladies of Cross Point, Christian sojourners together. The word that I want to throw out to you is the word influence. When I went to seminary quite a few years ago now, I actually graduated in 2011, so it's been a while. When I started seminary at Grace, several years ago, I was in my second semester, and I took a class on biblical leadership, and I, to my knowledge, I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, I was the first full-time degreed female student that they had. And it was interesting because in the evangelical setting, a woman with a call to ministry, it's a little bit of a challenge to kind of figure that out. Obviously, we don't believe that women are called to be senior pastors, but what does a woman do who feels like God's call on her life to minister? So that's a conversation that's out there a lot. There's lots and lots of different opinions. And I was kind of trying to discern that, what that looked like. And so I was in this biblical leadership class, and the assignment was to do a project, not just a paper, but a project, on what your ministry would look like as a leader. I had no clue what that was going to look like. And I talked to the instructors and just spent some time in prayer about it. And I decided to step back from what ministry would look like to what is it that God wants from me? Like, what does my life look like? Like, we should all ask that question. What is it that God requires or wants from you? What is he calling from you? And that has nothing to do with vocation, can I just tell you? I may or may not be standing here, but I believe that the answer I got in that project doesn't change. And the word that I got from that and the word I studied out was influence. So influence is the force of one thing directed against another thing to create momentum or movement. God calls us ladies to have influence. And believe it or not, you have influence all the time, whether you intend to or not. I was thinking, you know, if I leave and I'm driving down Broadway, somebody cuts me off or I miss a light and I'm not very happy about it, and I honk my horn and act like some of us do sometimes, I have actually influenced those that are driving around me. I have affected a force from my personality against someone else. So whether we're standing in line at the grocery store or we're here at church, whatever we do, we influence. And God calls us as ladies, as women of Christ, to make sure that our identity in Jesus is so secure that I'm not drawing off of other people to enhance who I am. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to give up his life, to forgive you of all of your sins. There is nothing being held against you in any way. And that sets us free. You know, I was saying in the first two services, Mother's Day brings a whole spectrum of reaction from us as ladies. It hits our how our moms were, how we felt they were. It hits our identity and the whole biological realm of motherhood or not. There's a lot of things that any one of us had when we woke up this morning, and it was Mother's Day. And I've been in many, many of those different spectrums. When we let our identity be shaped, our day be shaped or influenced by anything other than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus himself gave himself to set us free and to empower us so that we can influence others towards faith. Mother's Day is a secular holiday. It's not a God-directed one, though God does direct us to honor our moms. When God directs us to honor and celebrate, it's always with Christ in the center. All of the holidays, all of the feast days are directed with Christ in the center. Jesus is who we draw our identity from. Ladies, I would just encourage you that if you're still hung up on a lack of mom or a need of mom or your own failure as a mom or not wanting to be a mom or ended up being a mom with twins at the end, that you not draw your identity from that. That you let go of that and look to the one who loved you best and gave himself to set you free in every way. We're going to look at the scripture. I love this scripture. It's funny, you know, the little nuggets you find in the word, and you can study out scripture. And sometimes it's the little hidden ones that you just read over to get to the others. And this is one of those. This is part of the introduction of 2 Timothy. Paul writing a letter to Timothy, and this is the introduction. You know, it says, I, Paul, and you, Timothy, apostles, and all that stuff. You know how you just kind of read through those beginning. But in the middle of that, Paul is saying to Timothy, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, inside of Timothy. My version, NIV, says that lives in you. Christ is our faith, and he lives in us, ladies. Jesus lives in you. If you have a faith and belief in Jesus Christ, he is alive through Holy Spirit in you. And Paul says, I am mindful of the faith which lives in you, which first dwelt, lived, inhabited in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. What a beautiful thing. You know, I read that and I wish that were my testimony. I wish that that had dwelt in my grandmother and my mom. It didn't. I didn't come from that. Some of you have that inheritance. And Pastor's going to talk about coveting in a couple of weeks, and I'm probably going to have to repent, because if I covet anything, it's that right there. That I could wake up this morning and have a mother and a grandmother who had blessed me with love and faith. But I have a Lord and Savior who blessed me with love and faith. At 7 years old, I went to church with a group of people who just took us to church. It was Girl Scout Sunday. And I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I got saved. I got born again that day at 7. And, you know, it just took. Pastor says, you get the real shot. It took. And all those years growing up, I didn't have a family of faith. My mom did eventually come to know the Lord, but I didn't have that inheritance. And yet I desired to follow after the Lord because he saved me. He found me. He set my feet upon a rock. It doesn't matter where my mom and grandma were if you're blessed to have this. But the charge I have for this is not that biologically you have a grandmother that gave you faith. If you do, you should be praising God every day because that is rare. The charge today is I can give faith, living faith, alive in me through influencing the lives of others by being kind, by listening, by caring. I have a rather odd hobby. I love obituaries. I collect them, actually. I have a folder of them upstairs. And I find them intriguing because obituaries are that final summation. And lots of times I teach people, and if you've been in some of my classes, you'll know, we've even done the task of writing your own obituary. Do you ever stop and think, what will that say? I want my obituary to say, I gave more than I took. I loved more than I demanded love from others. And that Jesus was evident in my life. Doesn't matter anything else. Doesn't matter if I'll be remembered by my pug or that I liked crossword puzzles. That's what some, I read obituaries to say that. And I think, oh, all I wanted to say is that I gave more than I took, that I loved more than I demanded love from other people, and that Jesus was evident in my life. That's our goal, ladies. Right here, right now, today, I encourage you, I charge you to give more than you take, to love more than you demand love. And if you're sitting here today and there's somebody in your mind and you think that they don't love you or they're in whatever, you forgive them. Colossians tells us to forgive every offense as God forgave us in Jesus. And what is God holding against us in Jesus? Absolutely nothing. Let it go and love. Put yourself out there and love. And may Christ be evident in your lives, in our community, and in the greater Bangor area, because we are women of influence, and that all of the force that we affect on those around us moves everyone towards faith in Jesus Christ. That's my charge, ladies. Influence. Remember that word. Write it down. And just pray on that. If you would stand, we will say a prayer. Pastor's going to come up, and we're going to pray for the ladies. And just kind of bless you and just ask God to just really grace you. I just really wanted the ladies, but you know, if you want to stand, you can do that. If you want to put your arm around
just ladies.
The one next to you, you can do that. Stand on up, ladies. We'll bless anybody. It's okay. God's happy to bless.
It's a great crowd, isn't it?
Beautiful. What great beautiful crowd. Ladies. I just love you ladies all so much.
I know one thing. The prettiest group is standing. I know that.
That's for sure. Well, let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for the faith that dwells in us, for Jesus Christ who lives richly inside of us. God, I just pray for Crosspoint Church, and I pray for our ladies. I pray for every woman here this morning. God, that she would receive your love and find her identity only in you. God, she wouldn't look around for others to fulfill her, that she'd find complete fulfillment through Jesus. God, that she'd reach out, that she would touch the lives of others in a positive way. I pray that Crosspoint, through all of our ladies, would be a place of influence where others can come and find the gospel in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's give the ladies a round of applause, guys. Can we do that? All right. Thank you, ladies. You may be seated. Well, you've probably gathered by now that we're going to have a shorter lesson than we normally do. But, Deb, you did a really good job. Really good job. Yeah. Great job. Fantastic. Very, very good. Well, it is so good to see everyone today. Thank you so much for taking an hour of your time and dropping by to worship with us today. It's always a privilege and an honor for all of us here at Crosspoint to have people come and give us their time. You know, I'm finding in the culture in which we live, I think the most precious commodity at one time was money, but you know, today I think it's time. Time just seems to be so valuable. And everybody I run into, and when they run into me, it seems like we're all so busy. And we hear things like, you know, I would do that, or I want to be there, or I'd like that, but I don't have the time. So time is very, very important. So thank you so much for giving us your time. For those of you that might be here for the first time, or maybe haven't been here in maybe a few months, you've been busy, or whatever the case may be, we started a few weeks ago a series on the book of Ecclesiastes, and we did a survey every service. And I think there were only 15 hands that were raised that had ever heard a series on the book of Ecclesiastes. That's amazing. And my hand raised too, because I've never heard a series on the book of Ecclesiastes. And then we ask a second question, how many people have actually even heard a sermon from the book of Ecclesiastes? And quite honestly, there maybe would have been 30, 40, maybe 50 hands. That's just one sermon. So this book, when you think about it, it's quite unusual that people haven't taught more on it. The reason why is because this is a book of wisdom. And I've been guilty myself. I haven't taught on it either. And so maybe that's why God convicted me to do it. And I'm glad that that happened, because if you've ever taught or you've ever done a seminar at your work or whatever the case may be, you learn more, don't you, by studying to help others, for them to learn. And so I'm learning a lot as I go through the book of Ecclesiastes. The series is entitled Finding Wisdom for Life. And let's be honest, who doesn't need wisdom for life? We're all searching for answers. And you know what the fascinating thing is? We have more information today at our fingertips than in the entire history of the world. And we're still searching for answers to a lot of things. Fascinating, isn't it? And a lot of the answers we're looking for is to the soul. So today, Solomon is going to share with us 6 frustrations. Now, we're going to get through maybe one of them. 2 possibly, but I doubt it. Probably 1 today. So we're going to deal with the other 5 next week. But chapter 4 is where we are today, because we're trying to do a chapter a week. And I've just realized that's not working very well. Okay? So, but that's okay. We've got plenty of time. I'm not going anywhere. Hopefully you're not going anywhere, right? So we're going to be around for a while, so we'll just take our time. But in chapter 4, Solomon, the king of Israel, who, by the way, was the wisest man, according to the Bible, who ever lived, at least up to that time, and maybe since that time, had some frustrations. By the way, you ever have any frustrations? He came to the place in his life where things, when he looked at the world, just didn't add up. And the frustrating thing about with Solomon is that he couldn't fix it. Have you ever been in a situation dealing with a problem or a challenge and you just can't fix it? It's just the way it is. And you can't do anything about it. Well, that's Solomon today, and you know what? He's not much different than you and I. So Solomon now was an older man. He's looking down the quarters of his life, and he sees all of the things in life, and he concludes it's all vanity, it's all meaningless without God. And you know what? He's absolutely right. Without God, what is life? It's all vanity, isn't it? It's all meaningless. Well, first of all, let me share the 6 frustrations that Solomon talks about in chapter 4. First of all, he talks about what we're going to talk about today, The problem of oppression. That's in the first three verses. Second of all, in verse 4, he talks about the problem of envy and the problem of rivalry. We're going to start that next week. Thirdly, he talks about the problem of slothfulness. Another word for that is laziness. That's in verse 5. In verse 6, this doesn't apply to anybody in here, the problem of covetousness. All right, no one in here has any of those issues. And then in verses 7 through 12, he deals with something today that's becoming a real problem because of social media. It's the problem of loneliness. Isn't it fascinating that you can be in a room with hundreds of people just like this morning, and you can be the loneliest person in the world? And Facebook and all the different social medias that we have, Twitter and all those things, I'm not saying they're good or bad. What I am saying, it's creating for many loneliness because they're isolating themselves, and they actually believe that everybody that likes them is their friend, and that's not the case at all. Then we find in verses 13 through 16, we're going to talk about the problem of elusive fame and power. Then we're going to finish up chapter 4 by talking about that particular subject, which America sadly has fallen into the trap. It's all about, is it not, power and fame. Let's talk today about something that correlates what Deb shared with us with ladies to a certain degree, and you'll kind of see how it kind of goes together because we've only got about 20 minutes we can spend together. Solomon looked out and he saw people being oppressed, taken advantage of. He saw servants and laborers both being taken advantage of. Their masters knew they had to work, and because they knew they had to work, the boss knew they had to have money, they took advantage of them. Now, don't raise your hand at all. Please don't even budge. Just kind of sit there and continue to sleep. How many of you have been taken advantage of by your boss? Right? Now, if you're a boss, right now you're getting a little squirmy, like, uh-oh. Right? Have you ever been an employee and the boss just pours on more work, more deadlines? I think many of us have felt that way. Debtors were harassed by cruel, merciless creditors. Tenants were oppressed by hard, unreasonable landlords. Orphans were abused by brutal, unloving guardians. One of the things that breaks my heart is when I talk to people who grew up in the foster care system. And many of them grew up in foster homes, or as they went from foster home to foster home, a home that was supposed to help them, a home that was supposed to be a benefit to them, a home that was supposed to love them, a home that was going to give them hope for the future, abused them, took advantage of them. How harsh and how sad. Solomon saw this. He saw the orphans being abused. He saw the unloving guardians. Subjects, people were exploited by tyranny of judges who were unjust. And he wrote it down for us because he was getting so tired of life. In fact, he even says in another chapter, in verse 17 of chapter 2, Solomon came to the place because of all the bad things he saw. He said, I actually hated life. He didn't hate life. He hated what he saw in life. And it bothered him. Let me tell you something today, Christian. Oppression ought to bother us too, amen? It ought to move us to help those that are hurting. It ought to move us and change our hearts to be more compassionate to those that do not have. Richard DeHaan said this about the time of Solomon. He said, in Solomon's time, in Solomon's day, it was not uncommon for slaves to work from sunup to sundown every day of the week. They were beaten by cruel taskmasters. They were deprived of family life. And they only received enough food to keep body and soul together. A few years ago, Scott, who played the drums today, him and I were on a mission trip, and we had a long layover in Dubai, in the UAE. And it was in the early hours of the morning. I think our layover was like 11 at night to like 8 in the morning. And so we decided to hire a taxi driver to give us a tour of Dubai. It's a very interesting place. And while we were driving, I began to converse. You know, I'll talk to a wall if it, you know, that's the kind of person I am. So I started talking with a guy, and he spoke very good English, actually. And he was from Pakistan. And I said, by the way, how many hours? I'm always trying to get a conversation. How many hours do you drive the taxi? He goes, well, about 12 to 15 hours every day. Now, I heard every day, but I said, well, how many days do you drive the taxi? And the guy's probably thinking, what are you, like deaf or something? I just told you. He said, I drive every day. So I said, you mean like 7 days a week? And by now, he's really thinking, this dumb Westerner, what is wrong with this guy, right? Because that is so anti-cultural for us, right? I mean, now if you work 24 to 32 hours, you're full time. I'm looking for a job like that, right? I only work 3 hours a week, Sunday morning. Not a bad gig, is it? So I said to him, I said, you work 12 to 15 hours every single day? He goes, yes, sir. I said, when do you get a vacation? I don't get any vacations. I said, you get sick days? He goes, no. Holidays? No. Do you see your family? He said, no. Now, let's be honest. For those of us that have been born and raised in America, that's unheard of. I mean, that is unheard of. In fact, what we deal with is trying to battle people who want off all the time. Right? So I said, when do you see your family? He told me a little bit about his family. I can't remember any of that. It just didn't connect. I can't remember it. He goes, I see my family about every 3 years. The company sends me home for a month. I sat in that cab, and it was as if the Holy Spirit said to me, Jerry, you are so blessed. Don't ever complain again. And I thought, oh my goodness, what kind of life is that? You see, that's what Solomon saw. That's what had happened to the nation of Israel. Sadly, the nation of Israel had become oppressors. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 14, God's word said to Israel, thou shalt not oppress those that are hired. Don't take advantage of people that are poor and needy, whether they be of the brethren, that's the Jewish people, or of the strangers, those were the foreigners that came in to work in the nation of Israel. Do not take advantage of people. Boy, that's a good lesson for all of us, isn't it? It may not have to do anything with hiring anybody or working with anybody, but in our everyday life, we ought to work to not take advantage of anybody. In fact, we ought to be willing sometimes to take the short straw, amen? Sadly, Israel did not do what God had commanded through Moses in the Pentateuch, in the law. They began to oppress people, to take advantage of people. The oppressed, as we read the verses here in Solomon chapter 4, verse 1, then I looked again at all the acts of oppression which were being done under the sun, and behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed, that they had no one to comfort them, no one on their side, nobody with any power to help them, and no one to comfort them. So I congratulated the dead. What a weird saying. I congratulated the dead, who are already dead, more than the living, who are still living. Solomon was saying that because of their pain and their oppression, it might have been better for them to be dead. They can't be taken advantage of and oppressed when you're dead. But better off, verse 3, than both of them is the one who has never existed. It's better not even to have been born than to be oppressed and to die. who has never seen the evil activity that is done under the sun. They've never lived to see the atrocities of the earth. And let's be honest, folks, there are a lot of atrocities that are happening around the world. Right now, many of our own brothers and sisters in Christ are being put in prison. Our women and their daughters are being raped. People are being killed for their faith. It's happening. We don't hear about it much in our country. It's happening. They wept openly. Solomon saw them weeping openly because, sadly, the horrible mistreatment that they were receiving. And yet God commanded them not to do that. They were helpless. They had no power, sadly. Then thirdly, he talks about in these verses that they had no advocate. There was nobody to help them, nobody to console them, nobody to comfort them. You know, when I look at this analogy here that Solomon is giving, I look at it from a spiritual perspective. You know, there was a time in our lives, think about this, that we were being horribly mistreated. There was a time in our life spiritually when we were helpless against the oppressors, Satan, our flesh, and the world. There was a time in our life without Christ where we had no advocate. There was no one to console us, no one to comfort us. Yet the Father, seeing that we were spiritually oppressed, as Solomon saw his people being physically suppressed, thank God the Father said, I'm going to send someone to help. And he sent Jesus. And aren't you glad you have an advocate now? Aren't you glad that you have someone to help you against the oppressor, Satan himself? You know what can happen, church? Especially in the Western world, as we can kind of put a circle around ourselves and we can live our lives forgetting about those, even in our own community. You may or may not know this, but do you realize that there are people in Bangor, Maine that are hungry? Aren't they, Terry? That can't go to Walmart and buy clothes. I don't mean this. Don't take this the wrong way. Some of you don't even shop at Walmart. We have people in our city who can't even go to Walmart. They don't have any money. We have people in Bangor that go to bed at night hungry. We have people in Bangor that sleep on the streets. And as Solomon saw the oppressed, what frustrated him is, he had handcuffs on. He couldn't do anything about it, even as the king, because the problem had so diseased the people that because of power, they took advantage of their own people. I want to encourage you today from this standpoint that we were saved spiritually from our oppression. But that should drive us. That should give us a compassion to help those that are being oppressed even physically in our culture. Help us never to forget how good God has been to us. This week I was in McDonald's. We took our grandson to McDonald's, or our granddaughter rather, to McDonald's. And she got out of school one day this week, and we went down here on Broadway. You know, all the kids want to go there. Why? Because they got the playground, right? The plaything. Happy Meals and Playland. Okay, whoop-de-doo, right? But that's what they like. So that's what grandparents do. So we go and we eat. And while I was there, I've shared in the last two services, I saw this lady, probably mid-60s, so I'm assuming it was the grandparent. And there was this little boy, probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7. He was disheveled and really wasn't what I'd consider clean by our standards. Shirt was a little dirty. Now, it's possible he could have just came off the playground or something, but I could kind of tell that, you know, it was just rough. And that woman yelled at him and spanked him and yelled at him and talked really the tone and what she said and the anger in her face and the anger in her voice. And I stood there. And I thought, oh, my God, without God, this kid doesn't have a chance. He's got no chance. And then my mind began to race. And I began to think about people around the world and in our culture and other cultures. And I concluded, I mean, not that I didn't know this and not that I haven't concluded before, but things sometimes just hit you at certain times. And it was like, my goodness. Sometimes it makes all the difference in the world what family you're born into. And as Deb was saying this morning, unlike her who grew up in a dysfunctional family and no God and as an early age and really no direction spiritually, there's a lot of people like that. Maybe some people here today like that. But you know, the good news is we can begin to turn that around today if we want to, if we choose to. And I would say to you that have grown up in families where God has been present, where mom and dad are there, and you have clean clothes, and you have a meal every day, and you get the latest fad and the latest sneakers, and that's all good stuff. But listen, be thankful for it. Never get to the place where you forget those around you might not have what you have. And I think Solomon is the king. I've got to believe he felt some guilt and some trepidation because he had everything the world could offer. I mean, everything. Money, influence. He spoke and he could put people to death. People from all over the world traveled to see him because of who he was. And I think it broke his heart as he looked out at Israel. And they had just become so hardened. You know, it's easy to get hardened. And we have to fight not to get hardened in our own hearts and in our own souls. Solomon made a couple of shocking comments, declarations about people that are oppressed. He said in these verses that we read, "The injustice and pain, as I've said, was often worse than death, and it could also be torturous living in that kind of environment." In Proverbs chapter 14, it says, "He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker." Did you catch that? What it's telling us is, folks, we have a responsibility to help people that are worse off than we are. "But he that honoreth him," honoreth God, "has mercy on the poor." Because God had mercy on us who were spiritually poor. Spiritually, without Christ, we're in abject poverty. We have no hope. But with God, we have everything. The world has been working for a long time, many years, to help people in abject poverty. Right now, there's between 1 to 2 billion people, depending on what you read, and every organization seems to do their statistics differently. But there are a few billion people today in the world, are you ready for this, that live on less than $2 a day. I don't care where you live, that's not a lot of money. And I've been to many of those places. And it's difficult. And for many, their goal as they wake up every day is just to have food for the day. People will walk miles for water and for wood to cook on. Wouldn't you say that God has blessed us? Around 60 to 80 million primary school-age children attend classes hungry across the developing world. Imagine trying to go to class, trying to learn math, to learn how to read, and your stomach is growling. It doesn't work very well, does it? It's hard to do those things when you've got a full stomach. And for moms, on Mother's Day, for you, nothing breaks your heart more than to see kids in those kind of situations. Statistics differ, but the mortality rate, for children is not good in many parts of the world. There's somewhere between 6 and 8 million children a year dying before they reach the age of 5. Can you imagine that? That's 11 children about every minute pass off into eternity. 1 in 9 children around the world live whereby they are undernourished or even malnourished. And what we mean by that is they're not able to get the minimum amount of calories to be able to grow and become healthy. As Solomon saw the oppressed, he was broken. It bothered him. And Solomon, in a way, is kind of like us. No, we're not a king. No, we don't have a kingdom. But for the most part, everybody here that comes gets 3 meals a day. Most people have a vehicle. We have a warm bed to sleep in, air conditioning maybe in the summer. God has blessed us. And Solomon is pouring out his heart, and he's trying to challenge not only himself, but for the reader that reads this book, don't forget about others. Don't get so bogged down in that circle that you forget. And then, of course, the sex trafficking business around the world has gone completely unhinged. The oppressed. Solomon's brokenness is a wake-up call for us. I would challenge you today to look what God has given you and say, how can I use some of that to bless others? I think that's something all of us should do. Whether it's our time, whether it's our talent, or whether it's our treasure, the 3 T's. Talent, treasure, or time. Are we so busy that we forget about those that have very little, some that have none? So the challenge today is not to put all of us on a guilt trip. If that's your understanding, you've missed the whole thing. But it's to remind us to have a broken heart, just like God had a broken heart for us, because we were in spiritual abject poverty. And aren't you glad that he reached out and took our hand and met our need? That's the goal for all of us. So I want you to stand this morning with your head bowed and your eyes closed, just for a moment. Jody's going to come and play the piano for us. I just want to challenge today, Christian. The first challenge is to the Christian. Do you ever think about those that have little or not much? Do you ever process why God has given you what He has? Have you ever thought about investing or sharing some of that with others? Sometimes it's easy to get the attitude, well, I did it, I made it, it's mine. Well, it's God's, actually. And you did it through His strength. Amen, church? Remember we said last week, there's no such thing as a self-made person. You need to really pray this morning that God would maybe renew your heart or give you a compassion or a love for those that are oppressed. For those that are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you were to die today, you would have no idea where you'd spend eternity. You may not even know there is an eternity. We believe there is an eternity. There's a heaven where we dwell with God forever, and there's a hell where we're separated from God forever. And I'm fully aware that's not politically correct today, but it's biblically correct. And we would be ingrates if we did not share the truth with you. We love you. We want you to spend eternity in heaven. And if you're willing this morning to allow God to take center stage in your life, where you're willing to pray and ask God to forgive you of your sin, He will come into your life and change your life forever. That's what God does. He may not make you rich. In fact, there's a good chance He won't. because a lot of us are still waiting. Amen? Hasn't happened yet. Doesn't work that way. God may not make you healthy. He might, but he may not. But I'll tell you what he will do. He'll give you eternal life. And whatever you go through here on earth, he'll go with it through you. Because he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. This isn't heaven, folks. This is a difficult place called earth. But I know one thing. With God living in us, it's a lot easier. That's for sure. The Bible says that he's closer than a brother. He's our friend. Isn't that amazing? That God is our friend. He created us and he wants to be our friend. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And so what we use often here at Cross Point, Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the entire world, the universe, who died for me on the cross. You see, when the Father saw us in our spiritual, abject poverty, he sent his Son Jesus. God himself came, became a man, died for us. And right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, come into my life, and save my soul. If you've never done that, this would be a great opportunity to do that. I'm going to have Jody just play through. Pencils down front if you want somebody to pray with you. If you have questions, Carol's down front here with the ladies, pencil for the men. Jody's going to play for a couple of minutes, and then Linda's going to come and close our service.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Cross Point Church today. It's such a blessing to have people like you tuning in on a regular basis. And by the way, if this is your first time joining us, thank you. Would you let us know by way of email or a phone call or drop us a letter or maybe drop by the church, any way that you seem appropriate, would you let us know today if you've made a personal decision either to draw closer to God or even more importantly, if you made a decision today to receive Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior, I would love to know that. I'd love to send you materials or put materials in your hand so you can grow closer to God. Email us, let us know. We would love to have that information. And by the way, join us again on another broadcast right here. God bless and have a wonderful day.